Father, teach me to pray. Oh Lord, to pray well like Jesus. When I am on face to oh with my storm, Lord, give me the voice, the word, yeah. Oh, when my in the midst of my trial, Lord, give me a song. In the midst of my trial, Lord, give me a song. In the midst of my trial, Lord, give me a song. God formed us, sin deformed us, and Christ transformed us. And I want to say this morning, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. And the balm in Gilead is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ can heal a sin sick soul. The gospel of Jesus Christ can make the wounded whole. Amen. So we give praise and honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have your personal copy, the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of James. The chapter is 4, and again, the verse is number 4. I'm going to ask you to read this text after me. We'll announce the subject for today, which is a continuation of the message shared on last week. You have that, say amen. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Choose your friends carefully. Say it again. Choose your friends carefully. I thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. Now this morning is the final installation of a two-part series of messages we began on last Sunday entitled Choose Your Friends Carefully. And in that lesson last week, we talked about 8 reasons why you should choose your friends carefully. And those reasons were, number 1, because you need some friends in this world. It's not good for you to be alone. Amen? A second reason was is because association brings on assimilation. Evil companionships can corrupt good manners. A third reason why you should choose your friends carefully is because your friends can entice you to sin and cause you to turn away from God. A fourth reason why you should choose your friends carefully is because you do not want to make friends with an angry person. Because if you do, there's a real possibility you may imitate his ways. The fifth reason why we should choose our friends carefully is because faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend may seem like an enemy when he's telling you the truth, But you can rely on the corrections of a true friend. Amen. And the sixth reason why we should choose our friends carefully is because a friend loveth at all times. There are some people who will love you when you're up, but won't love you when you're down. Some people will love you when you're right, but will not love you when you're wrong. There are some people who will love you when you are prosperous, but won't love you when you're broke. Amen. Then the seventh reason why you should choose your friends carefully is because gossip can separate close friends. Sometimes people have been good friends and some gossip and some whispering started and they are no longer friends. Is that all right? And the eighth reason why you should choose your friends carefully is because in order to have friends, you gotta be a friend. And if you have many friends and you got a lot of folks in your life, you don't really know what they're all about, they can bring you to ruin. Amen. So these were eight reasons why you should choose your friends carefully. But we're going to take it to a higher level this morning. And I want to talk about the importance of friendship with God. The importance of friendship with God. How many this morning can say God is my friend? Yeah, how many can say this morning that the Lord is my friend? Me and the Lord are tight. Me and the Lord are all right. Is that all right? I want to talk about this morning the importance of friendship with God. Now, I want to take you back to James chapter 4. And I want to exegetically and analytically and hermeneutically and expositionally and theologically. Is that all right? Look at or just explain what the verse means. Amen. You do all that and just explain, preacher, what the verse means. Is that all right? Look at this verse again, and he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now he uses this language because he is referencing covenant people. He's talking to people who were in covenant relationship with God, but were not living up to the covenant. In other words, they were spiritually unfaithful. They were in covenant, but they were acting like they were not in covenant. It's sort of like the woman who said in the song, and they asked the question, are you married? And she said, sometime. Is that all right? Well, you can't be married sometime. Either you're married or you're not. Is that all right? Well, they were married to God in a spiritual sense, but they were not living up to the responsibilities and the obligations of covenant. And then he said, knowledge is power. And what you don't know can hurt you. And he says, know you not, or don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That is, friendship of the world is hatred of God. Now, let me tell you what a friend is from a biblical standpoint. A friend is from the Greek word philos, and it means a comrade or a companion. There are three elements of friendship. There is association, there is loyalty, and there is affection. Now, the lowest level of friendship are people you just merely associate with. They don't love you. They're not loyal to you. They just simply are associates. And then there's another dimension of friendship, and it literally means man of my peace, which means one who looks out for my highest good or my best interest. Is that all right? So God says that if you really want to have the friendship of God, you cannot be a friend to the world. Because friendship with the world makes us the enemy of God, or has hatred toward God. Well, let's think about world. World in scripture is used in many senses. Sometimes world refers to cosmos, orderly arrangement, the order that we see in the world. There is order in the world. Day follows night. Seasons follow seasons. Is that all right? There is order in the world. God made the world and all that's in it. Sometimes world refers to the sphere of inhabitants, the people who live in the world. That's the world. It's not only orderly arrangement, it's the people that live in the world. For example, God so loved the world. In that passage, it's not talking about God loving flowers and trees. It's talking about God loving the people who are in the world. God so loved you, God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten son. And then world has reference to the ungodly multitude that is opposed to God and Christ. This is world. And this is the world we can't love. We can't have friendship with people who hate our God. We can't have friendship with people who are against our Christ. Is that all right? And then there is one other dimension of world. World has reference to the goods and the pleasures and the services and the influences that seduce us away from God and seduce us away from the church. That's why Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world of goods?" You make $1 billion, but you lose your soul, you're still a loser. You have 5 Super Bowl rings, but you lose your soul, you win an Academy Award or the Grammy Award, and you lose your soul. What Jesus said, what would it profit you if you gained the world of goods and services and influence and pleasures? You having all this fun. You life is just a bowl of cherries, and you got the cherries. And you lose your soul. Well, God is saying we can't be friends with him if we are friends with the people who hate God and hate Christ. People will put pleasures before God. People who say they can't hardly come to church but can be at the game. And can be at the game on time. What time it start? Oh, y'all didn't see that coming, did you? What time you say that game? Well, we got to get there. We got to get there early, child. It's going to be full. Is that all right? Well, the Bible gives us warnings about the world, because the world is dangerous. The world is deceitful. And the world is destructive. Do you think the world poses a threat to your spirituality? Well, look at the warnings it gives about the world. Number one, it says, be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world shape your thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? And I continue to say, what's so important is what goes into your mind and what goes on in your mind. Amen. Number two, it says, love not the world, neither the thing that are in the world. For that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but of the world. And then the Bible warns us about the cares of the world. The cares of the world the situation, the issues of life, and the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible says riches are deceitful. They choke the word. One becomes unfruitful. And then the Bible talks about the world by its wisdom did not know God. You can't learn about God but except through divine revelation. And then it warns us, brothers and sisters, don't be a friend of the world, because if you want friendship with God, we got to take that seriously. If we want friendship with God, we cannot be the friends of the world. Amen. He said, now let's go a little further. He said, friendship with the world is enmity. You got some people in the world are like Pharaoh. They don't seek God. They don't honor God. Brother Harris prayed this morning, and we thank him for the prayer. But some people could be at church today, but they ain't here. Could be here, but don't care enough about the Lord to come here and worship him, to come here and praise him. Because isn't he worthy to be praised? Isn't he worthy to be praised in your life? Shouldn't your mouth be praising God? Huh? You ought to use your mouth for more than just cussing. Praise God. Y'all didn't see that coming either, did you? I ain't see it coming either. Amen. But we have to praise God. There are some people who don't seek God. They don't honor God. They don't glorify God. How many want to be a friend of God? I mean, I want to say, God is my friend. And the Lord can say about you that you are his friend. Amen. Yeah, some people have the mindset of Pharaoh. They say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know who he is. And I strive to humble myself under his mighty hand. I don't want him mad at me. I don't want him against me. I want him to say Moss is his friend. Is that all right? Now look at the latter part of this verse. It says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's a powerful statement. Amen. Because let me tell you something, if God be for you, doesn't matter who's against you. But if God is against you, doesn't matter who's for you. Is that right? If you, Brother Rutledge read so beautifully, if you are the enemy of God, an enemy literally means one who hates. One who hates. If you choose to be the enemy of God, you're in a battle you can't win. If you choose to be the enemy of God, you have debts you can't pay. If you choose to be the enemy of God, you will have a soul you can't save. Amen. Brother Rutledge read, if it is of God, you can't overthrow it. If God ordained it, the nations of the world can't stop God. He is the creator of the world. Atomic bombs don't worry God. Recessions don't concern God. You see, God can make some out of nothing. God will never go broke. Is that all right? God can heal the sick. Open the eyes of the blind. Make crippled leg walk. Twisted limbs straighten at his touch. And just think, I'm the enemy of God. And if I'm the enemy of God, that's why you got to choose your friends carefully. Because you could unwittingly And what I mean unwittingly is unintentionally, inadvertently become the enemy of God and don't even realize it. Because he is a jealous God. Amen. But then I got some good news for you. Y'all like good news? I tell you, because we sure getting a lot of bad news. I had to just turn that off. Because I done had enough of that for today. Can you say amen to that? I got some good news for you. I got some glorious news for you. I got some grand news for you. What is it, Moss? God desires to be your friend. You ever had somebody wanted to be your friend and you didn't want to be friends with them? Somebody say, amen. I don't like you like that. Amen. Well, God wants to be my friend. God wants to associate with me. God wants to be loyal to me. And God wants to love me. God wants to love you. God wants to associate with you. God wants to be your friend. Ain't that good news? And if God didn't want to be your friend, why did God? Matthew 1:23 say, and a woman, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God is not against you. Now, there may be some folks against you. Are you listening to me? You got some folks right now smiling in your face. And all the time, they won't take your place. They say they with you. You got some folks talk out both sides of their mouth. Nisa. Sis Johnson. Amen. But God is for you. If God wasn't for us, why did God take on the form of a human being, a man, and live in this world for 33 years? And why did God teach us? Why did God serve us if he doesn't want to be our friend? And Lord have mercy, why did God die on that cross for your sins and my sins? If he did not want to be our friends. Ain't that good news? God wants to be Sabrina's friend. And God knows I need some friends in this world. You can't make it by yourself. You gotta have somebody. We all tied together in a single garment of destiny. Is that right? John Donne put it this way, no man is an island entire of himself. Every man is a piece of the colony, the part of the man. Any man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Never sin to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. We're tied together. That's why when we hear that someone has suffered a loss, sympathy comes out. And in some cases, we can empathize because we've been there. God wants to be my friend. Let me tell you something. You may not want his friendship, but you sure do need it. This world doesn't want it, but it needs it. Why? Because things are out of order. Crime is running rampant in the streets. Budgets, deficits, a soaring. Our children are dying in mountain numbers in the street. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Some men have gone on strike and said they're not going to be fathers no more. Mothers have walked away. Religious scandals have eroded people's confidence in the Bible and the church, because things are out of order. Things may be out of order in your own life. And God says, God says right now, even though America and the world doesn't believe it, God is still saying, I could heal your land. All this killing and confusion we got, God is still saying, I could heal your land. God is still saying, I can save you. Look unto me and I'll save you. Is that all right? God says, I want to be your... Well, what are the conditions of friendship? Number one, you can't be a friend of the world. That's the negative part of it. The positive part, God said, if you want to be my friend, Brother Wyatt, if you want to be my friend, would you come up here, please? If you want to be my friend, God said, well, John 15:15. If you want to be my friend, if you want to be my friend, I'm going to have him to read it. Then I'm on Psalms 25:14. How many want to be his friend? Y'all sound mighty weak on that. Let me ask again. How many want to be his friend? All right, that sounds much better now. That sounds better. 15:15 says what? John 15:15.
Henceforth, I call you not servants.
I call you not servants.
For the servant
knoweth
not what his Lord doeth.
All right, come on.
But I have called you friends.
I call you what?
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 Friends.
Friends. How many want to be a friend of the Lord? God said, I call you friends, so may I call you friend. What is that? Why?
For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
Now, and then he also says, ye are my friends if you do what I tell you.
Verse 14.
Verse 14 says what?
You are my friends.
You are my friends.
If you do whatsoever.
If you obey me, you prove you're serious about being my friend. Now, if you have stepping, prove you don't. Huh? Is that all right? Read it again, 14. You are my friends.
If you do whatsoever.
If you do whatsoever.
I command you.
I command you. How many want to be his friend? Choose your friends carefully. Is that all right? You want to be God's friend? You got to keep in the consciousness of your mind. If I want to be his friend, I must do what he says. Now, Psalm 25:14 says what? It talks about covenant. I will show you the covenant. What does it say?
The secret of the Lord
is with them that fear him.
And he will show them
his covenant. That is, he will show you the blessings and the benefits that comes out of being in covenant with God. Now also, can I go a little deeper? Y'all said deeper. Y'all didn't say it. Said deeper. Let's go to James chapter 4. I want to give you some other elements of this friendship with God. Let's start with verse 5. James chapter 4. Start with verse 5. And let's look at some deeper elements of this friendship. Y'all want to know about this friendship? Huh? That all right? 5 says what?
Do you think that the scripture saith in vain?
The Bible doesn't teach for nothing. Amen. That's what it's saying. Come on, why?
That the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy.
Okay.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith.
What he said?
God resists the proud.
Now, here's one way you can't be God's friend. Walk around with attitude. Stuck up. Haughty, high-minded. You can't be God's friend with that kind of thinking. God resists the proud.
But giveth grace.
But he gives grace
unto the humble.
If you want to be God's friend, you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to get off your high horse. You got to stop saying, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff. Is that all right? Read it, Wyatt. Next verse.
Submit yourselves.
All right, and the next step to being a friend of God is submission. You can't be proud, right?
That's right.
Can't be a friend of the world, right?
That's right.
Can't be proud. Got to humble yourself, right?
Right.
Got to submit to God. That's another step in being a friend of God. What else does it say?
Resist the devil.
Next step, resist the devil. Resist the devil. That's another step of being a friend of God. Come on.
Draw nigh to God.
Draw nigh to God. I want to commend you this morning for being here this morning. Say amen, everybody. Thank y'all for being here this morning.
Amen.
But let me say something to you. Let's strive, I beseech you. Let's be on time, y'all. Man, it got quiet. I beg y'all. Let's be on time for the Lord's service. Amen. Because we friends of God. Is that right? He says, resist
the devil.
The devil.
And he will flee from
you. And he will flee
from you.
But if you let him in and have coffee, he will stay with you. If you let him ride, he will drive. And he won't just be in the trunk. He'll have you in the trunk while he's driving. Is that all right? What does the next verse say?
Draw nigh to God.
Draw near to God. I want to tell you, you ought to be commended. You made the effort. I got to commend you. We don't take that for granted. It was effort on your part. That's why you were here. You got up, got ready, didn't you? And you said you was coming to church, a service. Is that right? So in that action, you were proving you want to be a friend of God. Is that right? Read it, Wyatt.
Cleanse your hands.
Cleanse your hands.
And purify your heart.
And purify your heart. That's another dimension of the friendship of God. And let me tell you this in conclusion. It says he was called the friend of God. There's a man in the Bible called Abraham. He was an outstanding man. He was called many things in the Word of God. He honored God. And Sister Yvonne, he was called the friend. Let's have it read, James 2:23. He was called the friend of God. Now, you can get a lot of accolades and a lot of praise. Amen. But do you not know one of the greatest things could ever be said about you? I know I can relate to that. She's a good lady. She's a quality person. I mean, we can appreciate that. If she says something, she's going to do it. She got your back. She ain't a fair weather friend. A lot of nice things could be said about you. But do you know the greatest thing could ever be said about you, Sister Johnson? That the Almighty God says that Carolyn Johnson is my friend. Now that's deep. Huh? That's deep, y'all. James 2:23 says what, why?
When the scripture was fulfilled.
When the scripture was fulfilled.
Which saith. Abraham believed God.
Abraham believed God.
And it was imputed.
And it was imputed or counted unto him.
For righteousness.
For righteousness.
And he was called.
And he was called.
The friend of God.
The friend of God. What an impressive accolade. What a compliment. You know, I can appreciate the praise of men. I can appreciate good people encouraging me, saying kind words to me. Can't you? But there's some higher. John 12:42-43 says, many of the Jews believed in Jesus but did not confess him for fear of being put out of the synagogue. Because they loved the praise of men. Let me tell you something. At some point in your life, you got to care more about the praise of God than the praise of people. I think I said something right there. Can I say it again? At some point in your life, you got to be more concerned about what God thinks about you than what people think about you. They love the praise of men more than the praise. How many this morning want to hear God say, you my friend? Do what he says. Resist the devil. Humble yourself. Cleanse your hand. And you can be God's friend. It ain't impossible. You can be God's friend. Is that all right? Because this world is getting more and more dangerous, y'all. Are y'all listening? Man, it's getting dangerous on these jobs. You can't hardly walk the street now. I need a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Wes. Is that all right? And if God be for you, doesn't matter who's against you. Now, in conclusion, don't you want friends can do something for you? I mean, would you have friends in your life can't do nothing for you? Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me on that. Jay, you want friends can't do nothing for you, Jay? At least you can pat me on the back. Pray for me. Huh? Maybe you ain't got no money to lend me, but you, I mean, give me, don't lend it, give me some. Y'all didn't see that, did you? But who would want a friend, Wes, can't do nothing for you? You know why I want the friendship of God? Because what he can do for me. He can do for me more than my mama can. He can do more for me than my daddy can. He can do more for me than my wife or husband can. He can do more for me than my children can. Well, Brother Moss, what are some of the things he can do for you? He can renew your strength. Yeah. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up. I said mount up. With wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. But not only that, he can be a fence around you. Did you hear that? He can be a shelter in the time of the storm. For a man, Sister Jackie, shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, he can do something for you. Because he says, my grace is sufficient. I don't care what you're going through. Listen to me. I don't care what you're going through. It may be tough at home. It may be tough on your job. It may be tough for his health is concerned. I don't care what you're going through. God said, I'll be a tent. I'll be a fence around you. He said, because my grace is sufficient for thee. Is that all right? Not only that, God will be one who opens your understanding. Amen. Of all you're getting, do what? And the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then finally, I need him as a friend because he's a shepherd. And I need direction in my life. How many need direction in your life? You don't always know what to do. You don't always know where to go. Is that right? And that's why somebody need to say this morning in 2014, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say amen to that? I know it's September 28th, 2014, but I stand and say the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He maketh me, Lord have mercy, to lie down in. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. Look at leads me. Look at him lead you. How many need leading this morning? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his. And oh my God, sooner or later you got to descend. And yea, do I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. Oh God, I'm so afraid of death. Would you please hold my hand and go with me through the valley, Lord? Yea, do I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, it's a dangerous world, but thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now watch this. Watch this, Brother Sperling. Watch how the figure changes. He changes now from a shepherd, a guide, to a host. Thou preparest, oh my, y'all don't see that, do you? Thou preparest a table before me, where? In the presence of the haters. Can we say it like that? In the presence of the haters. Is that all right? Thou anointest my head. And Sister Spurley, my cup of blessing runs over. Surely. Wait a minute. Surely. Why did I say it? Surely. Sister Shirley, I said surely. Sister Moss, I said surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me. Can you say amen to that? Oh, I need a friend like that. Surely goodness, Yvonne, surely goodness and mercy shall, great God Almighty, shall follow me every now and then. All the days, great God Almighty, of my life. Oh, I'm so blessed to be a Christian. Oh, I'm so blessed to be a child of God. Why? And I will. Where you going to dwell? Where you going to dwell at? It didn't say I'm going to dwell at Platinum. Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? But I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord. How often? But if he's not your friend, you will cry out with Paul Lawrence Dunbar in the Autobiography of Sinners. Sister Claudia, here's what the poet laureate Paul Lawrence Dunbar said about it. Such insight, such a provocative thinker. He said, this is the price I pay For just one riotous day, years of regret and of grief and sorrow without relief. Small was the debt, I thought. Small was the thing at best. But oh God, the interest. I tell you, if God ain't your friend, you're going to have interest you cannot pay. If God ain't your friend, you're going to find yourself in a war you cannot possibly win. If God is not your friend, great God Almighty, you will find yourself with a soul you cannot save. Is that all right? That's why I'm so glad this morning that God wants to be my friend. Oh, ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting. What a friend we have in Jesus. Is that all right? And can't nobody do me like Jesus. I'm glad this morning that God wants to be my friend, Rachel. I'm so glad this morning that God wants to be on my side. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, I don't think y'all heard that. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? Jesus can turn dark nights of despair into bright days of hope. Jesus can turn barren gardens into beautiful gardens of flowers. Jesus can turn gloom into glory. Jesus can turn fear into faith. Jesus can turn weakness into strength. Jesus can turn tragedies into triumphs. Jesus can turn confusion into comprehension. Jesus can turn pain into power. Jesus can turn burdens into blessings. Jesus can turn sorrow into sunshine. Jesus can turn sadness into gladness. Jesus can set, take up your bed and walk. Is that all right? Jesus can say, your sins are forgiven you. Is that all right? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? And that's why I want to be his friend, Jeremy. That's why I said they tried my Lord with no one to defend. Is that all right? Within the halls of Pilate, wide, he stood without a friend. Is that all right? But oh, I want to say this morning, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. Is that all right? Until my years shall end. Is that all right? The world may turn against him. I love him unto the end. Is that all right? And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. Is that all right? To all who need a savior, my friend I recommend. Is that all right? Because he brought salvation. It's why, glory to God, I am his friend. Is that all right? Oh, I'm excited about Jesus Christ. And I stand where upon us Pilate said, and I say, I find no fault in the man. Is that all right? I find no fault in who he is. I find no fault in what he said. I find no fault in what he did. Is that all right? He opened the eyes of the blind. He made crippled legs walk. He preached the gospel to the poor. Is that all right? And I find no fault. No fault. No fault. Lord, I want you to be my friend. Is that all right? And the Lord is saying to me, Moss, I want you to be my friend. Again, I thank Brother Harris for that beautiful prayer this morning. Y'all stand, please. That's the message. I hope this has blessed somebody. I hope this has helped somebody. Amen. And that's why you know you need a friend when you go to work every day. Need a friend on the freeway. I say you need a friend on the freeway. Need a friend at work. Need a friend at home. One night, Bobby Scott, I thought I had locked my door. Went to bed. Left my key in the front door, Bobby Scott. You hear me, Bobby Scott? Went to sleep. Got up the next morning. Thank you, darling. Got up the next morning, couldn't find my keys, Cupcake. And Faye, I looked everywhere. I ransacked the, where in the world did I put them keys? You hear that, Phil? I know you never lose your keys. Well, why'd I found, I said, well, let me go outside and get some fresh air. Yeah. And Lord have mercy, there the keys was. And my friend watched over me. Didn't let the murderer come in and cut my throat. Didn't let the murderer come in and behead me. That's the new thing now, y'all. Praise God. Because I had a friend who watched over me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Don't you need the Lord to be your friend? Amen? Because you don't know what he's done for me. He gave me. Do we need to pray for you this morning? Anybody need us to pray for you? We'd be happy to do it. If anybody need the Lord this morning, why don't you come to him by hearing his word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized. And the Lord, Janice, will be your friend. Amen? He'll be a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Amen? You're a child of God and you stumbled along the way. Don't despair. You can make it right. Repent, confess, and pray. And your friend will forgive you. Isn't that good news? Friends forgive you when you mess up, don't they? Oh, ain't that good news? They tried my Lord and Master with no one to. Defend within the heart of Pilate, he stood without offering. I'll be a friend. Jesus, my life for him, I'll spend. I'll be a friend. Oh, Jesus, until my years.